Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Psalm 86:11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to be occupied with thy name. Psalm 86:11. And Job 36:11. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verse 13. Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our scripture reading and our study for today, realizing, as always, the importance of our hearts being in tune with the Lord as we study His Word. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to focus our minds upon eternal truths. We realize how important it is for us to receive consistently and faithfully your word, and then to take your word and make application of these truths as we face the various problems and difficulties and tests and burdens of life. We know that all of us face difficulties. We're thankful that we can see from a vertical viewpoint rather than from a human horizontal viewpoint. May we accept the fact that you're with us. You've given us the assurance that you would always be there. We promised that we could come to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. And so we're thankful for the wonderful promises and the wonderful blessings that we have because we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We're not only thankful for the fact we have the wonderful Word of God, but we have the magnificent ministry of the Spirit of God. We're thankful that we're privileged to know without doubt that we can admit our faults and failures and sins and know without doubt that we are forgiven, that we're in tune and harmony with our Lord. We pray that we will today again understand the importance of receiving spiritual fuel for our souls. We pray and thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading with Genesis chapter 12, verse 13. Please say that you're my sister, so that it may go well with me because of you, and that I may live on account of you. It came about when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman was very beautiful. And Pharaoh's officials saw her and praised her to Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. Therefore he treated Abram well for her sake, gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys and male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. We've already emphasized the fact that we have in life many problems and difficulties. We're faced with tests. We're facing in life with many problems, heartaches, burdens. And yet God is not interested in our lives being filled with frustration, complexity, convolution, and complications. No matter what we face in life, God desires that we have clarity in life, directness in life, ease in life, and trust in life. I don't want to just throw those words out loosely and carelessly. I feel like it's very important for me to share with you the fact that no matter what you're facing in life, however difficult things may be at times, that you have to understand, we all have to understand, that God knows, There are many wonderful characteristics of our Heavenly Father. We know that He's all-knowing. He's all-wise. He's all-powerful. He's promised never to leave us. He's given us so many wonderful, wonderful, magnificent promises. When we think in terms of the essence or the characteristics of the members of the Godhead, we know that all three members of the Godhead have the same characteristics and the same attributes. There's sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love, eternal life, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, immutability, and veracity. It's amazing how we can throw those out and do it so rapidly, sometimes I believe, without thinking how great each one of those is. Sovereignty. God is the ruler, the master. He's in charge. How fantastic it is to know that. Righteousness. He's the one who's imputed righteousness to us. We're the recipients of imputed righteousness. We don't deserve that. We don't even deserve to go to heaven. And yet, because of the gift of God through Jesus Christ, our acceptance of Him as our Savior, we have that assurance that we're going to leave this life one of these days and be in His presence. How fantastic it is for us to appreciate His righteousness, sovereignty, righteousness, justice, love. We could stop on any one of those and spend a lot of time. Omnipotence, all-powerful. Omniscience, all-knowing. Omnipresence, everywhere present. No matter where you go in life, He's there. He's definitely there. He knows everything. In fact, He knows far more about us than we know about ourselves. If He knows the number of hair you have and I have on my head, that means He knows quite a bit about us, doesn't He? He knows all about us. So you can rest assured that if He knows that much about us, He certainly knows when we are facing the burdens of life, the difficulties of life, the tests of life. And all of us face those. We have to choose whether we're going to allow these various experiences that we have in life to be complexity or simplicity. And that's what we dealt with at the first service, if you remember. God is not interested in our lives being filled with frustration, complexity, convolution, and complications. He wants us to have clarity in life. He wants us to have directness in life. He wants us to have ease in life. He wants us to have trust in life. Disobedience to God and God's plan brings complexity. No doubt about that. Not simplicity. Disobedience to God and God's plan brings complexity. We see that so vividly depicted in the life of Abram. We saw neglect in the life of Abram. And neglect leads to reject. Every time you and I choose to neglect receiving the mind of Jesus Christ on a day-by-day basis, if we do not study God's Word, if we do not find ourselves cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit, if we do not find ourselves hungry for the mind of our Lord, that's neglect, and that leads to reject. And I don't understand it, but it happens to all of us, and that is many times we reject what God's wonderful plan is for us. If you'll glance back at your notes, let me review for just a few seconds what we said in the first session. Abram led his family, Sarai, Lot's wife, into Egypt. That was a place where there was no word. Glamour? Yes. A lot of things that appeal to the flesh, but there was no emphasis on the truth of God's Word there. So I classify it as a no-word place. Secondly, he matured at Bethel, and then he took a nosedive, if you remember, to the place called Negev, N-E-G-E-B or N-E-G-E-V. At that point, I said that he was a wrong road life believer. That simply means that at that point of time, he chose to go even in the wrong direction geographically, but most of all, he chose to go in the wrong way spiritually. Number three, the test of famine in Egypt shook him and seared him to another wrong decision. The wrong decision, number four, was in relationship to his wife. She became a problem for him. You remember that we talked here about the fact that beauty is only skin deep, but ugliness goes all the way to the soul. I hope you're looking back at your notes and see that and realize that if a person, man, woman, boy, or girl, has an ugly soul, they're in bad shape. Number five, this led to another bad, deceitful, unmanly decision. He was afraid, so he took a half-truth, and he twisted that to be a lie. And he said, though I realize that Sarai is actually my sister, she's the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And then she became my wife. That's found in Genesis chapter 20, verse 12, which is an emphasis on the fact that she was actually his half-sister. She's my half-sister, the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. She became my wife. So he took that half-truth and twisted it into a lie. Number six, he twisted that deal, being afraid for his life. He did not protect his wife and gave her over to an unbelieving king. Number seven, as a result of this, the scripture says, and we read it, he became wealthy because of his wife's position in Pharaoh's harem. Number eight, God protected Sarai from any physical harm, and we're going to talk about that more in detail in a few moments. Then number nine, people on the wrong road think only of themselves. I believe that's true. Or we're all so self-centered. Isn't it interesting how self-centered we are? Have you ever taken time out to really take a look at yourself in the mirror? Most of you today have looked at yourself in the mirror. You've checked yourself out pretty well, haven't you? I'm not saying that that's wrong. I'm just saying that we're pretty self-centered. Many people have difficulties and problems, and we go out into the world and we don't think that much about the people who have problems and difficulties in the world, because primarily we're thinking about self. That's what happened to Abram. He was selfish. He was self-centered. He didn't want to face the difficulty of a beautiful wife, so he decided that he would just ask her if she would, in essence, lie and say, "You're my sister instead of my wife. That way they won't kill me." On the wrong road means that a person's spiritual life is delayed. And that's number 10. That's all we're going to do with what we presented to you in the first session. But let's get back now into the sad, sad word. We got into this word just a few months ago. The word is neglect. A sad word, number one, a sad word in man's vocabulary is the word neglect. Number two, neglect is very harmful in many areas of life. People neglect health, and that's a sad word. People neglect their family, and that's a sad word in relationship to family life. People oftentimes neglect their finances, and they find themselves in great difficulty. So there's neglect that's very harmful in many different areas of life. Health, family, finances, so forth. Number three, however, the most dangerous area is related to the spiritual. This is a problem, and I have to emphasize today, it can be a problem for every born-again believer, no matter how you've advanced over the years. Neglect is dangerous to the believer's life. Number four is where we left off. The neglect of receiving the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ is so detrimental. The neglect of receiving the thinking of Jesus Christ is so detrimental. The Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That tells me that you and I have the responsibility of thinking the Lord's thoughts. And we're not going to think the Lord's thoughts if we do not see from a spiritual, vertical, divine vantage point. And we're not going to see from a vertical, divine vantage point unless we are able to utilize truth, which is the Word of God. Now, sometimes people say, well, I get so tired of hearing you say over and over again that we need the Word of God. Well, let me say it again. We need the Word of God. Because that's the only way that you and I can have a fruitful, victorious, triumphant life. We have to see from God's vantage point, a vertical viewpoint, not a horizontal human viewpoint. So number four, the neglect of receiving the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ is so detrimental. And that's where we left off the last session. So if you want to pick up now, it's number five. My question here is, why do people choose to leave out the most important aspects of life? I had to just sit and think about that for a while. Why do people choose to leave out the most important aspects of life? Oh, I know why. We're busy. We got a lot of things going. We have to get up early in the morning, and we have a lot of activities through the day, and we've got this and that going, and we have responsibilities in all of us. So since you know that we're Genesis 12:13, I'm going to turn that off, okay? Now, let me remind you that we are very busy people. But we have to choose what's most important. We have to make a decision of what time we're going to give to receiving the thinking of the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Why do people choose to leave out the most important aspects of life? Because they're careless. Because they become so carefree and so enamored with the responsibilities of life. And all of us have responsibilities of life. I look back over these 61 years in the ministry, and I will have to admit to you that I believe that we're the most privileged individuals on the earth, because God has given us the opportunity to have time in the morning when many of you have to get up and get things together and have your quick breakfast and be off to work. I'm aware of that. And our routine is that we get up, she's on one side of the bed. I don't have to tell you all this. It's fun. She's on one side of the bed, I'm on the other, we make the bed. Then we throw the pillows. I throw the pillows. She catches them and places them. We have various routines, but every single day, there's time that we take for the study of God's Word. Now, I'm aware of the fact, and I learned this years ago. There was one particular person that I knew years ago who was a busy, busy man. And I found out that he had to get up sometimes even at 3 and 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock in the morning to spend his time, first of all, in the study of the Word of God. And sometimes even when he missed that before he went to sleep at night, even though it may have been 11 or 12 o'clock at night, he spent time studying God's Word. It's a matter of choice. It's a matter of what we decide to do in life that's really important. So I have to answer the question, why do people choose to leave out the most important aspects of life? If they choose to leave out the most important aspects of life, it's because they deliberately, on purpose, intentionally have made a decision to go that way. Am I being rude, ugly to you today? No. I'm challenging myself as I challenge you. Well, let's get into some personal things. Some people, number six, don't like the subject. Have you ever had that happen to you? It's not my favorite subject. The preacher is preaching now from the book of James, and he's taken himself over into the book of Genesis, and he's dealing with Abram, and we're traveling with Abram, and that's not my favorite subject. Well, we have to make a decision. Is it God's Word? Yes. Is it in the Bible? Yes. Am I to study God's Word, which is in the Bible? Yes. Even though it may not be my favorite subject, I will study with Him anyway. Let's get more personal. I don't particularly care for the way the preacher preaches. The delivery. Well, let me tell you, there are times when I don't appreciate the way the preacher preaches. There have been times when I've left this church. If there could have been a pile of sand for me to put my head in and just kept it till everyone left the church where they wouldn't see me or see me with my head in the sand, I would have been all right. I have to tell you that some people say our pastor's too humorous. He tells too many jokes. Some people say our pastor's not humorous enough. Some say our pastor's too intellectual. Some people say our pastor's not intellectual enough. I'm not asking you to put me anywhere there. I'm just telling you what. Our pastor's too exegetical. He's too exegetical. He spends too much time on the Greek. He's always analyzing verbs and nouns and adjectives and adverbs and particles and articles. And I couldn't care less for all that. I'm more interested in the practical aspects rather than the intellectual exegetical aspects. Circumstances bother me. When I come to church, I find myself oftentimes in the midst of circumstances that are not all that great for me. The person who sits in front of me sings too loud. The person who sits behind me goes to sleep and snores. I'm bothered. I don't like the circumstances. Some people don't like the subject. Some people don't like the preacher. Some people have all kinds of different ideas. Number 7. I don't know what you put down for that one. Number 7. Sometimes people become bored, discouraged, or think that learning is too difficult. Or they can say, I come to church regularly and I'm really not getting all that much. Well, there are various reasons for not getting all that much. It may be that the preacher's not doing a good job. Or it may be that you're not listening very well. I can't take all the blame. I've got to share some with you. I need to tell you, however, that some of you are saying, well, listen, it seems like that so many things he's saying, I don't fully comprehend. Now, let me tell you right there that you have to understand that God has given us a system of understanding, which is a gift of God's grace. We call it the grace system of comprehension. The reason why we do this is because if you're sitting there listening and you're in fellowship in harmony and the Word of God is being presented, you may be receiving 10% or 20% or 50% or 60% of what is being said. If you're sitting there and you're out of fellowship, and the Word of God is being presented, and you're getting 0%. So you leave, go home, you didn't get anything. You were here, and it seemed that you were listening, but you really weren't. But let's just stay away from the negative aspects, and let's go to the person who's been listening attentively and carefully. He's in fellowship, she's in fellowship, and they're receiving 65% of what's being said. And they listen, and they say, you know what? I've heard that before, but I'm seeing it more completely now. And then they go away and they come back, and 6 months later, they hear information along that same line. And I've had people come up to me and say, I wish you'd have preached that years ago or months ago. And my thinking is, I've done it. But you must not have been here, or you must not have been listening. Because you didn't get 65%. Had you gotten 65%, you would have remembered at least some of it. You see what I'm saying? So we're in the process of communicating God's Word. That's my responsibility. Your responsibility is to not neglect being in fellowship and being in tune with what is being presented. And as you listen, even though you may not fully understand or even agree, you take that information and put it into your own little category, which we call your shelf of information, and you just let it stay there. You don't have to worry about it. Don't fret over it. If you didn't understand it, that's okay. One of these days, you're going to come into this auditorium, and the preacher's going to be preaching, and it's going to be like a great big spotlight that shines over here into your little cubbyhole, that information, and all of a sudden, you're going to see it. Perhaps even for the first time, you have seen something that you shelved 6 months, 3 months, a year ago. And that's when you come up to me and say, I wish you'd preached that before. But in reality, it's been preached, but now you're seeing it, and it's fantastic. You see what I'm saying? This is so practical where we live, folks. Don't neglect being in harmony, and don't neglect listening. People may become bored, discouraged, or think learning is too difficult, or not getting them anywhere in life. You may say, well, you know, I've been listening to you for years and I don't see any particular results. Please don't tell me that. It's no fun to listen to you. You're so dry. Oftentimes you're so demanding. You're telling me what I should do. And I don't like to be told what to do. Can I get away from point seven? Some of you are nodding. Just in case you didn't get it, number seven. People may become bored, discouraged, or think learning is too difficult, or they're not getting anywhere. They see no results. They say, I come to church and it's no fun. It's dry. It's demanding. Number eight. Sometimes mental attitude sins will cause a person to stop their spiritual advance. This is an important one, folks. Sometimes mental attitude sins will cause a person to stop their spiritual advance. If you come in here and you have a bad attitude toward someone, toward the preacher, toward a neighbor, toward someone, a mental attitude sin can stop your spiritual advance. Number nine. When you grow, you're going to be tested on the things you're learning. I was telling John a few moments ago, one of the interesting things about preaching is that I study in advance, as all of you know. And oftentimes my study, several weeks in advance on a particular subject, before I ever come to this pulpit to teach a particular subject or a particular emphasis, I've already faced in my own personal life testing along that line. I'm not up here talking about it. I don't have to. I just can let you know that you and I are going to be tested on the things we're learning. Growing brings tests. Who wants to hear something and then be tested on it? Some of you are saying, I would rather not hear it. But let me tell you something right here. It's better for you to hear it and get the information. And when the test comes, know what to do about it. So please don't tell me, I don't want to hear it because I don't want to be tested on it. Oh, B. This is so interesting. And number 10, neglecting God's truth results in frustration, perplexity, and weakness of soul. Now, some of you are taking this down, but please, some of you are not, but please put this one down. Neglecting God's truth results in frustration, perplexity, and weakness of soul. When I look at Abram, and I look at this passage of Scripture, here's what I have to tell you. I have to see something. Therefore, verse 16, he treated Abram well for her sake. Notice that Abram was treated well for Sarai's sake, and gave him sheep and oxen and donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. You talk about receiving a lot of things. But you know what? Prosperity doesn't satisfy the soul. Material possessions, however wonderful they are, will not satisfy the soul. Some of the wealthy people in this world today are frustrated and confused and bewildered and unhappy people. You know that? Because the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, it says, Abram's wife. Isn't it interesting to see that God, who knows everything, looked down on this situation and he struck upon Pharaoh's house plagues because of one person, Sarai. Boy, that lets me know something. That lets me know that God knows you as an individual. And God knows your circumstances. And God understands your circumstances. But the Lord struck Pharaoh and his house with great plagues. And then you know what I discovered? And I'm going to go home with this. The emphasis here is preservation. God had promised, if you remember, Abraham a son. God had promised Abraham a son. Had she been taken into the harem and raped and brought about a baby in that situation, it wouldn't have been the right thing. So I put down, and I'll deal with this on Wednesday night, God had promised Abram a son, and Sarai would, of necessity, need protection. Even though her husband didn't protect her, God did protect her. And that's where I want to close. I want you to see that God knows you individually, and God knows all the circumstances, and God wants to direct us individually, one step at a time. How fantastic this is. I hope you're really listening to this, because it's right down where you and I live. Preservation is not deserved, but God cares for us individually. May we bow for a moment of prayer. Father, thank you for this time and the ability to see how you care for us and protect us and love us, and how you've given us the assurance that you would always be there. Even though we realize that we face a lot of difficulties and burdens in life, and yet you've said all things do work together for good to those who love you and those who are called according to your purpose. Help us to see that more clearly today. And help us to know that when your hand of love and protection is upon us, it is beyond anything we could ever imagine. For those who've never accepted you as Savior, may they do so even now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.